Just got a message from Sam. He's found the culprit. Is it anyone from us, our church? No, you can't tell it. What time was it? 10:30 last night. Does he come in the church? No. Or she? We don't know. Was it a she or he? You can't tell. Okay. Well, he's not telling. Well, there you go. 10:30. Wasn't too long. When I did do the security camera, I realized how many cats come around setting off the motions all the time. There's a ginger cat and a black cat. Two important announcements. One is Sunday school starts on the 22nd. So there you go. We'll be finally back and running on the 22nd Sunday school. And then the other important announcement is, remember that next week, being the first week in the new section, is where you get to bags where you sit forever, all right? So some people like to sit in the same spot till the day they die, and if you want to be one of those people, well, then you need to bags it early. So there's benefits of coming next week if you're one of those type of people. I'm bagsing right up the front, so if you want to take my seat, you can, all right? So you guys up the front? You don't know yet. Yeah, you are? Okay. You probably have no problems with anyone stealing your seat, so you don't really need to come next week. Anyway. There are numbers on the seats, and I was thinking of you pull out and you get assigned a seat, so no one gets to choose. That's what I'd like to do, but you might have little children right up the front, and that may not quite work as good. And so in that, try and at least leave the two back rows only to people with young children, all right, so that they can sit there and get away quickly. So if you don't have children, and please don't sit in the two back rows. That would be nice. And so those with little children and babies, they can sit up there and whisk off quickly to the mothers in the father's room. That would be great. So let's look and see who breaks that rule next week, eh? We'll see. Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the day. And Lord, we do thank you that we can stop and remember mothers. And we do pray that, Lord, also as we look at your word, that, Lord, you'll work in our hearts, whatever it may be, and teach us your ways, that we may grow to know you and to love you more and more. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know it might be hard to picture these days with my grey hair and ageing body, and Linda still looks like she's in a young lady in a prime, but there was a day when Linda and I were one of those couples with a newborn baby. Can you imagine that? One of those couples, we had this little girl, and it changed our life predominantly for the best, all right? There were a few things that we probably didn't enjoy, like getting up early or getting up during the night, but we were one of those young couples with a little baby. And I can still remember we had this lounge room, sitting on the lounge room floor in our little asbestos house in what was called Layla Park, which is out in the west back then, one of the westies in Sydney, and with this little baby, and I would sit there and have chats to her and talk to her about all different things, and she didn't have a clue what I was saying, but she just smiled and giggled and made my life feel extra special. And I would ask her, what was she going to do when she grew up? And she didn't have a clue, obviously. But I would sit there and wonder what sort of person she would be when she grew up. What would she do when she grew up? But I would tell her, and I do remember sitting there saying, now, when you do grow up, you have to love the Lord with all your heart. And you have to make sure that you want to serve him in whatever way that he calls you. So I would give her those instructions just from a little baby. And she agreed at that stage, all right? It was really good. She laughed, so I considered that a yes. And in reality, Linda and I had no idea how our firstborn or the other children would grow up to be. But I can say that in all three, the reality is they have all exceeded our expectations, and we praise God for that. But having said that, could you imagine what Linda and I would have thought if an angel appeared to Linda and told her that the child that she was carrying would be used to free and deliver her people? Could you imagine if an actual angel, Linda comes and says, an angel appeared and said that the child that I carried is going to be used to deliver our people? Now, could you imagine what I would have been thinking when Alicia was there, knowing this promise and thinking, wow, how is God going to use you? Are you going to be this politician, this magnificent priest? Oh, you can't do that, all right, I don't know. It sort of doesn't quite work when it's a girl as the firstborn, but as opposed, but how is God going to use you? Well, today I want to look at a lady who had this very thing happen. She was told by an angel that the child that she would bear would deliver her people. Now, you might be thinking, Mary. Imagine what Mary was thinking and how this child would grow up. But no, it's not Mary. And I often wonder how this lady and her husband would have felt if the angel also said, and although he would deliver your people, he would also seek after the wrong type of women. And he would also be led more by his passions than the Spirit of God. And that he would have a fierce temper. And he wouldn't listen to your counsel. And he would die at a relatively young age. Could you imagine if they were told that as well? I'm sure when they come to the realization that an angel had said that they would have a child who would deliver their people, that didn't come into their mind at all. And if they were to be told, and also his eyes would be dug out of his head and he would die at the hands of your enemies, that would be horrible as well. Now, you probably know who I'm talking about now. I'm talking about the child being Samson. And if you learn anything from Sunday school, you would realize that even though Samson, this mother had promises about the child that she would have, Samson certainly didn't grow up to be a godly man. And one thing we can be sure of is that his parents certainly wouldn't have expected these sort of things to be happening after the wonderful promises that they received about what would happen. And I can only imagine how this godly woman must have felt when she saw her son make so many foolish decisions and reject her counsel. Now, we looked at Samson a little while back. I say a few weeks, but it might have been 8 weeks for all I know. And we know that although in the stories in Sunday school that we learn about Samson, we read all the good things about him, we do know that he was someone who God used despite his weaknesses. And so it wasn't so much that he was a man of God, but he was a man who God used. And it would be nice to think that Samson won these battles and did these mighty feats out of a love for his God and out of a love for his people, wanting to bring freedom to them. But in reality, to the greater part, these things came to pass because he wanted revenge for his own personal life. But yet God was still able to use him nonetheless. And in the story of Samson, although children love to hear the stories of how strong he was and what he did, in reality, the true good example in this story of Samson is his mother. And it's his mother that I want us to look at today. I don't usually do mother's messages on Mother's Day because I don't want to discourage you. But today we're going to do one nonetheless. And so with that, having said that, turn to Judges chapter 13, would you please? Judges chapter 13, and we're going to have a look at some things that we see about Samson's mother. Got a number of points, they're all pretty quick. But the first point, if you like writing down points, is the cause for correction. The cause for correction, and that's found in verse 1. It says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Now by this stage, Israel had been in the promised land for around about 400 years. And if you know the story, it seemed to be a repeat every few generations. The children of Israel would go fall into sin or reject the Lord and seek after the gods of the nations around them. And so he would bring an enemy to come and to chasten them to the point where then he would raise up a judge to rescue them so they can have a fresh start and they would be good for a while. And then the same thing happened again. And that's what we read there. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And so we see that this generation was no different to many of the generations that went before them. They did evil in the sight again. And that's a discouraging thing when you read that generation after generation, they don't learn from the previous generation or so. But that should be a lesson for us again. I wonder how often, if your life was being written and such did evil in the sight of the Lord again. How often does that appear in your life's history and story as well? We should be learning from the chastening and the rebukes that God does give us and the defeats and how we feel. And so understand that we need to trust Him more and to make things different so that we don't fall into those same sort of pitfalls that we have. If we aren't learning, well then God says that we are foolish. And the children of Israel were very foolish. And once again, the Lord was forced to chasten his people, and he did it this time by sending that arch enemy, the Philistines, for 40 years. Yet, despite this, the Lord still loved his people. He didn't like seeing them in the bondage that they were, and he wanted to give the next generation the opportunity to worship him freely and choose to serve him. And so, because of that, he was going to raise up another judge to rescue them from the Philistines. And in verse 2, we read, "The common couple with a common problem." The common couple with a common problem. "And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites," Dan, "whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not." So it says there was a certain man. So no one special, no special family, just an ordinary family of the nation of Israel from the tribe of Dan. And this man and his wife had a rather common problem, and that is they weren't able to have children. And God seems to like taking someone that has a problem that seems impossible to fix on their own and to use them and do things that couldn't happen without him intervening, just to prove that he is truly a mighty God. And so to prove that all things are possible, God decided to choose them to be the couple that would bear a child to and be a judge to bring freedom to his people. And so in verse 3, we have the comfort of conception. Verse 3, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not. Now, I don't think that was news to her. I think she fully understood when the angel appeared and said, thou art barren and bearest not. But what we do notice from here is that, and don't miss it, and that is God knew the circumstance that she was going through. It wasn't news to God. And I wonder if she was like us, who had prayed to God about this problem for years on end, yet wondered, has God even heard my prayer? Nothing's happened. There's no answer to prayer. I wonder if he actually even hears my prayer, let alone will he actually answer my prayer. Well, all of those doubts would have been gone at that moment when she was told by this angel, we know your circumstance. God knows that you are barren and you bear not. But it's the next part of that information that would have brought her the greatest news, where it says, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. So God was going to do something special for this unknown lady. We're not given her name, so I can't tell you. We can call her, I don't know, I won't say her name. may not be a good one. All we know of her is as Manoah's wife. That's how she's referred. Manoah's wife or the parents of Samson. But she gets this wonderful news. God has heard your prayer. God is going to answer your prayer. And I suspect even to make sure they knew this was of God, it was going to be a male. It was going to be a son. And then in verses 4 to 5, we read the commands to keep. These were the instructions. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. Shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And so the angel told Manoah's wife that she was going to bear a son, that he was going to be a Nazarite, and there are instructions about those who are going to keep the vow of a Nazarite found elsewhere in God's word, but he was a man that was going to be put aside for God's service and to bring glory to the Lord. Someone different to most in the children of Israel. And there were particular commandments that we are told here, because it was from the womb, that Manoah's wife was to keep, as well as when the child is born, he was to keep as well. And so the angel explained to her what needed to happen. And from these two verses, I think we get some very important lessons for us. You know, notice the commandment began before the birth of the child. In fact, it even came before the conception of and Manoah's wife, we see here, had a part to play in the workings of her child to come. It says there in verse 4, now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. And so Manoah's wife was not to drink wine, and that could have been the fresh fruit from the vine. It could have been alcoholic wine that was diluted down so it was safe. We see here that it was also strong drink, which is other forms of wine from other fruits that were able to bring a strong flavor. And she was also, so basically she was only allowed to drink water at that stage, and she was also to stay away from unclean food that God had designated as well. And so she had to forgo certain pleasures herself in order to prepare her child to be used by God. Now, I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. And this is the first lesson I'd like you to take away. Raising a child starts before conception. Have you ever thought of that? Raising a child starts before conception. And by saying that, I say that you should know God's word well before any child comes along, and you should be obeying God's word well before any child comes along. That's what Manoah's wife was to do. She was to know what God had said, and she was to be obeying what God said well before any child came along. The mistake that too many young couples make is they think that they'll get their life together once they have children. Oh, it's too hard to do it at the moment, but once children come along, that's when we'll get our life right. That's when we'll start to have regular quiet times. We'll go to church regularly. We'll serve the Lord and all those things, but it's just too hard at the moment. That's a big mistake, I'm here to tell you, if that's the attitude that you do have. If you're only honoring the Lord when you have children in order to be a good testimony to them, what that really shows is you're doing it for the wrong reason. And it will not be true-hearted, and your children will see through it. You see, the only reason why you should be honoring the Lord in your life, where you have those regular quiet times, you come to the Lord's house to worship Him, you want to serve Him in any way that you possibly can, the only real reason, right reason to be doing those things is so because you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to serve Him and love Him and let that be an expression of your love to Him. That is the only good reason. For those who say, oh, no, I'm only really doing it deep down is so that my children will know how they should be acting, that is a really bad reason, and your children will eventually see you. They'll see you as the fraud that you really are. And that's why the time before having children is the time to make sure that as a couple without children or as a single person is the time when you get close to the Lord so that, Lord willing, if you get married, Lord willing, if He blesses you with children and they come along, they will see that you have a real relationship with God. It's not put on for their benefit. And so, you can call it a Father's Day or a Mother's Day, but it fits everyone regardless if you have children or not. Preparing for children starts well before conception. You need to know what God wants you to be doing, and you need to be godly in doing those things out of a love for Christ. And that's what Manoah's wife had to do. The other lesson I see here is when Samson did come along, he was oblivious to the Word of God. He did not have a clue about what God told his parents and what God expected of them and what God expected of him. And the only way that he was going to know what God wanted him to do was for his parents to tell him what God had said. It was their responsibility to say, look, God has said for you, you're not to cut your hair. Now, he might think, well, that's cool. You know, today's generation, he might have liked that one. But also, he would have said, as a Nazarite, God said that you're not to drink any wine or fruit juice of the vine. You're not to eat anything unclean. There are certain ways that God wants you to live that are different to a lot of other people. And it was also their responsibility to not just teach it, but to help him obey God's word as well. That was their job. Samson wouldn't have known otherwise, and I suspect that Samson wouldn't have wanted to do those things. He would have wanted to be able to eat whatever anyone else was eating, to drink whatever else everyone else was drinking. If everyone else had short hair, I'm sure he would want short hair as well and be like everyone else. But it was up to his parents to tell him what God wanted and then to help him do those things as a young boy and as an adolescent. And it is the same for parents today. You have a significant role to play in the future of your children. I think you've already worked that out. Not just prior to conception, but when children do come along, you have that responsibility of teaching them what God's Word says. Otherwise, they're just going to go back to their default system, and that is fleshly, selfish, sinful attitudes. You need to teach them. Not only do you need to teach them, but as their children and adolescents, you also need to help them keep those things. That's your responsibility. And that could come through rebuke and chastening, teaching, reinforcement, encouragement, all those things. But that was the job of Manoah and his wife for Samson, and it's a job for every parent as well. And so they get told this good news. But then we see the cautious husband. I want you to notice Manoah's response to his wife's good news. And I'll tell you, when Linda found out that we were having a child, it's like a movie for me. We weren't really expecting a child at that stage, funny enough. And she went there to the doctor for certain reasons, and I was just sitting in the waiting room, and then Linda called me in, and I thought, well, what's going on here? And then the doctor said, Linda's pregnant. And it was like a movie. I nearly fainted. I thought, what? I was like, okay, what? So future fathers will respond in different ways. And so here is his wife coming with this great news. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name." And so she thought he was an angel, but she didn't ask. "But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." And so, what did Manoah do when he heard this news from his wife, from the angel? Well, I'm gathering he didn't really believe her. And he wanted to hear it himself. It says there, verse 8, "Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come unto us," like both of us, "and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." So he prayed and said, will you send him again to both of us and teach us what we ought to do? And so even though the angel had told Manoah's wife what they were to do, Manoah thought there must be more that he needed to know, and so he prayed he would be sent. And it says there in verse 9, "And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her." And so he prayed, please send him again. And he comes. And he comes to his wife who was sitting there alone. Now, I don't want to read too much into it, but why did he go to the wife and not Manoah? I'm not exactly sure. Was she more spiritual than him? Was she the one that he knew he could trust the most? I don't know. But it says there in verse 10, "And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him?" So he says, when he finally sees this man So what do you actually want us to do? How are we to act in this way? And look at the response. And the angel said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. So basically that is saying, do what I told your wife you meant to do. And then he repeats it, she may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Now, there's no commentary here of what Manoah's wife is doing at this time, but I'm picturing a woman with her hands on her hips, shaking her head, saying, he just told you the exact same thing that I told you, all right? Couldn't you? There was no more news, all right? He just said the same thing, just what I told your wife, and then he repeated it. Couldn't you believe me? You know, like I could just sort of read the commentary in between here, all right? There just seemed to be a little bit of a... He didn't quite trust his wife that she could tell the news properly. But Manoah only got the same instruction as his wife got. It seemed like he was a little bit flighty and he needed to make sure for himself. And then we see that he got a little bit excited. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, that though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. I find that interesting after all of this. So Manoah's wife thought he was an angel. She sort of got that at the beginning, but she didn't sort of express it too much. But Manoah was still oblivious to this. This shows me that she was a wife who had, I suspect, greater insight to the things of God. Maybe that's why he came to her. But next we read that for some reason, and this is why maybe the angel only went to the wife at first and tried to avoid him. For some reason, rather than getting excited over the news, he obsessed over the angel's name. Like, wouldn't you just be excited that, yes, we're going to have a child? It says, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honour. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is a secret? And so he got no joy, but he wanted to know the name. And so Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. Verse 21, but the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that it was an angel of the Lord. So he finally got it. This was actually an angel. He still didn't know his name, right? He wouldn't tell him, but it was an angel of God. And after this extraordinary event, here we see, I just wanted to show you little things that Manoah then had a different reaction. Shouldn't you just be really excited with this? First, he didn't believe the news. He wanted to hear it himself. Then when he got the news, he wanted to know what his name was for some reason. And then when he saw this miraculous thing and realized it was an angel, it says there in verse 22, and Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. Right? This guy is the ultimate pessimist. Right? He is wanting to focus on all that could possibly go wrong rather than the blessing that is right in front of him. Are you like that? Where you just want to, when there is a blessing in front of you, but all you can do is focus on things that could go wrong or are wrong. I think that's a good reminder for us with what we can see here on our property at the moment. Do you see the blessing of God and everything that God has done for us? Or can you only see the things that may have gone wrong or aren't quite right? You should focus on what God has done. That's the blessing. When it comes to your life and what God blesses you with, don't think, well, everything's going to go wrong, I'm sure, or see what is bad in it. See the blessings that God has given you. I've told a couple of people lately when something went wrong in their life just this week, and down here I said, well, I think of it this way. Yeah, it's a bit of a pain, but I'd much rather have this go wrong in my life, like I won't mention anything, you know, something was cut wrong, or, you know, you couldn't quite get something right. I'd rather have that problem than be down in Melbourne Hospital getting treated for brain cancer. Like when you look at life, there are things that are annoying, but you should really be thankful that you can still be healthy and do things. There is a lot worse that can go wrong. And here, Manoah just seemed to be able to focus on the bad bits that possibly could go wrong. And here we see his wife have the words of wisdom again, the words of reason. Verse 23, but his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. Here is the words of reasoning. Darling, if God would have killed us, he would have killed us already, or he wouldn't have received the offering. Besides, he's just promised that we're going to have a child, all right? Why would he promise we're going to have a child and then kill us today? And sadly, I see here in this concept of a husband and wife, there seems to be one that doesn't quite know God the way that he ought to know and the ways of God compared to the woman who seems to know the ways of God. And in my life's history so far, sadly, that seems to be a common thing when it comes to a marriage. There is the man who's meant to be the leader, but oftentimes he doesn't know the ways of God the way he ought to know them. And he doesn't know the Lord, and he isn't as close to the Lord as he should. Yet he's married to a lady who is close to the Lord and has those spiritual inklings, and she has to be the teacher and the reminder of how God works and how we ought to be honoring the Lord. And she has to be the one that actually pushes him along or drags him along in the spiritual life. Yet in reality, it should be the complete opposite. It should be the man who is the leader and leading the way, not being pushed in the way. And so if you're a man here, regardless if you're married or not, as I said before, being a godly person and being a godly husband, wife, or parent starts well before any children come along, where you establish godly practices in your life. Be that godly person where has your quiet times, spend time in God's house, worshiping Him, seeking to serve Him, honoring Him in your life, and having that close relationship with Him. It starts now. You want to have godly children who have a godly wife? Then be a godly young man, so that when you do get married, you can be that one who leads. It shouldn't be the wife saying, I think we should go to church tonight. It should be the husband saying, no, we're going to church tonight because we have a God we want to worship, because we love Him and we want to honor Him. No, we should be having that family time. It shouldn't be the wife reminding the husband, we should be having our family time for our children. No, it should be the dad saying, no, we're having the family time. If you're a male, be the leader that you should. I see here that wasn't so much the case with Manoah. Yet his name is mentioned and not the wife. I wonder how you see God. She saw the true God. A God who keeps his promises, a God who loves, who is caring. He saw someone who didn't keep his promises, someone that just wanted to hurt, it seems. But it says there in the woman, verse 24, bear a son, and so he kept his promise and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. You know, I suspect the Lord blessed him because of Manoah's wife, because of his mother. She kept her end of the deal. She kept the commandments of God, and he benefited from that as a boy, as growing up. God blessed him because his mother kept those commandments while he was in the womb and then taught him the ways and helped him as a child. Yet sadly, we know that despite God still keeping his promise of using him, he was a man who God used, but he wasn't a man of God. And that's the sad thing. And if we can take one thing away today, maybe for you mums, you know, despite your godly example, despite your teaching, we see here that Samson, when he came of age, didn't listen to his parents' advice, and he certainly didn't live in a manner that pleased them. And this is the important thing. Regardless of how well you prepare for children, regardless of how well you teach your children and help them and guide them and instruct them and discipline them and whatever, they still do have a free will, and when they come of age, it is still their choice to choose which direction they go. And although you can make it really easy for them to seek the things of God, ultimately they still have to choose it themselves. But there's one thing you don't want. To have a child who chooses not to go in the ways of the Lord and live with regrets because you didn't do your part. One thing you don't want to do is to sit there thinking, I should have established those godly habits in my life well before I even got married. Should have listened to Pastor way back then. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be sitting there thinking, I should have honored the Lord in those early days of our marriage by seeking Him first and His kingdom and honoring Him. We shouldn't have waited till the children came along or to do those things. You don't want to sit there thinking, I should have been a proper example, where I wasn't just doing it to be a good example, but it was actually just a reflection on my relationship with Christ. You don't want to live with these regrets, particularly if your children can see through your facade and they realize, why should I bother following the Lord? They don't seem to be that keen on it anyway. They're just doing it to go through the motions, and they choose not to go in the ways of the Lord. And so if you're not married today, and you're here, start preparing for your family now. If God blesses you with a spouse, if God blesses you with children, well, prepare for it now. Make your relationship with Christ real. If you're married and you don't have any children, understand that, don't think that you're going to have more time to get things established when children come along. Don't think, oh, we're too tired, we're too busy, you know, as a married couple to be able to do these things. Once children come along, we'll do it. No, the mayhem begins when children start. If you haven't got those things established now, rarely will you ever get them done. And if you are married and you do have children, teach and guide your children while you can and be the real thing. Can I encourage you of that? That's all you can do. And even as we see here in the life of Manoah and his wife, despite having a promise from God that this child was of God and will be used of God, doesn't mean they're going to live a godly life. You know, I have the benefit, and a lot of you older ones have the benefit of looking back now, and those little instructions that I gave Alicia, and I'm sure I gave them to every one of those child. Now you're going to grow up and love God, and you're going to serve Him and whatever. I'm just blessed to be able to say that that did happen. But I know there was this deep, sickening feeling, what if they don't grow up and love the Lord? Well, I have the blessing of being able to say they did. And I trust that each one of you as a person, as a family, will be able to have that blessing as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that as we think of mothers, they are also really just another part of your character. That nurturing that you have for us, that concern over the littlest things for us, that desire for us to do what's right, and a desire to protect us from hurting ourselves unnecessarily. Lord, what we see in our mothers are simply just a reflection of your character. And Lord, I pray that the mums that are here will have you, by your grace, be able to show that. And that those who are blessed with a spouse and men, that they will be true leaders of their family. And they will be the spiritual one and the spiritual guide and the example to their wife and children. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.